Bible Prophecy and You, A Glimpse into Your Eternal Future, by Beyond Today Editor. Welcome to the last lesson in the Bible Prophecy and You series, in which we peer even further into eternity. In previous lessons, we uncovered the millennium, which begins at the second coming of Christ. During that 1,000 years of peace and prosperity, humanity, under the leadership of Jesus Christ and the Spirit family of God, will make thorough preparations for the second resurrection. We then explored how the many billions of people who have never received the knowledge of salvation will be raised in the second resurrection to live through the great white throne judgment period, during which time they will have their opportunity to repent and be converted and accept the gift of eternal life. In this lesson, we pick up the story from there. What will take place after the great white throne judgment? As Peter said, "We look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells." 2 Peter 3:13. What will this be like? The Bible does indeed give us glimpses into our glorious eternal future. Let's compare our spiritual journey to the story of Abraham. The patriarch Abraham and his wife Sarah are role models of faith and long-range vision. Vision of the next life in a city prepared for them by God. Hebrews 11:10. Abram, whose name was changed to Abraham, grew up in a pagan culture. It seems he was wealthy and had a comfortable life. Genesis 11:31. But he came to understand there is only one God, the Creator, and God gave him a very special calling. God told him to leave his comfortable life behind and become a nomad. Abraham responded with living faith, faith that is demonstrated by obedience to God, and thus became the friend of God. James 2:20-24. By faith, Abraham obeyed and he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Hebrews 11:8-10. All the great examples of faith died in faith, not having yet received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. Hebrews 11:13-14. Abraham's story has many important lessons for all of us. Above all, our short, temporary human life should be used as a preparation time for the next life. Godly people should think of themselves as foreigners in this evil world, who by faith seek a homeland, eternal life in the kingdom of God. Someday, the suffering of this life will seem a very small sacrifice. Someday, after living for thousands or millions of years, we will look back at all human sufferings as what the Apostle Paul called our light affliction that was but for a moment and working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. 2 Corinthians 4:17. We may think of it as the dark of night just before the dawn of a new day. In fact, speaking of the returning Jesus Christ, the prophet Malachi was inspired to write, "The Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings." Malachi 4:2. And the Bible several times compares the birth or deliverance of a nation following suffering to the joy of childbirth after the labor pains leading up to it. Micah 4:9-10. Compare with the trials of our physical lives being followed by the greatest joy of all, receiving ultimate new life, a glorious and eternal spirit life, in the family and kingdom of God. In parallel, consider these words Jesus spoke to his disciples before his crucifixion, which would be followed by his resurrection. "You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in labor, has sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she has given birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish, for joy that a human being has been born into the world. Therefore, you now have sorrow. But I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you." John 16:20-22. Regarding the life to come, Paul further said, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Romans 8:18. See also Romans 8:19-23. Will those who faithfully trust and obey God and Jesus Christ be rewarded in the coming kingdom? Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. Revelation 2:10. And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and may enter through the gates into the city. Revelation 22:12-14. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Revelation 20:6. Then came the first servant in one of Christ's parables, saying, Master, your mina, an amount of money, has earned 10 minas. And he said to them, Well done, good servant, because you were faithful in a very little, have authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Master, your mina has earned 5 minas. Likewise he said to him, You also be over 5 cities. Luke 19:16-19. As we learned in previous lessons, everyone whose sins are forgiven, who then lives a life of obedience and service, and who remains faithful until death, will receive the crown of life, eternal life. Revelation 2:10. The tree of life also symbolizes eternal life. Each one will be rewarded with a level of responsibility according to the spiritual fruit of his or her life. Jesus illustrated this with his parable in Luke 19, in which each faithful servant is rewarded with rulership over a corresponding number of cities. What will be the end of those who, after they have received their opportunity for salvation, still refuse to trust and obey God and Jesus Christ? Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Revelation 20:14-15. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Revelation 21:8. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after he is killed, has power to cast into hell, Gehenna. Yes, I say to you, fear him. Luke 12:5. Those who knowingly reject God's loving offer to forgiveness and eternal life will experience the second death, the permanent death. They will be burned up in the lake of fire. The lake of fire is also referred to several times in the New Testament, such as in Luke 12:5, by the Greek word Gehenna, which is from the Hebrew Gehinnom, the valley of Hinnom outside Jerusalem where refuse was cast and burned up. Various Bible versions translate Gehenna as hell, but this confuses matters, especially as some translations, like the original King James Version, also use the word hell in rendering the Greek word Hades, which the KJV once correctly translates as the grave. In the long run, rebellion against God the Father and Jesus Christ brings great unhappiness. The Bible teaches that those who remain obstinately rebellious will experience the second death, the permanent death from which there is no resurrection, rather than being allowed to live forever in misery. What is God's ultimate goal? But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. John 1:12-13. For it was fitting for him, for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Hebrews 2:10. And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. 2 Corinthians 6, 16-18. The kingdom of God is also the family of God. God the Father and God the Son have planned for a very long time to expand the God family with many children. In essence, God is in the process of spiritually reproducing himself by bringing many sons to glory. God, with his infinite love and power, desires to save everyone by seeing them repent so they can receive eternal life in the kingdom of God. 2 Peter 3:9. How many sons and daughters will that be? Evidently, many, many billions. It's hard for us to imagine such a large family, but we will eventually get to know and love all of our brothers and sisters. Why does God plan for new heavens and a new earth? But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat? Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. 2 Peter 3, 7-14. God designed this planet to be perfect for human habitation and enjoyment. But after the great white throne judgment period explained in the previous lesson, the vast majority of those who have ever lived will have been transformed into divine spirit beings in the kingdom of God, while the rest, we hope a relatively few, will no longer exist because they will be burned up. Peter uses this prophecy to remind us of some spiritual lessons, asking, therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? He gives several answers in the rest of the chapter, including that we should be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. 2 Peter 3, 11-14. What will the new heavens and earth be like? Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. Revelation 21, 1-5. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered or come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem as a rejoicing and her people a joy. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people. The voice of weeping shall no longer be heard in her, nor the voice of crying. Isaiah 65, 17-19. Revelation 21 and 22 describe many exciting things John saw in vision about the new heaven and new earth. He wrote that the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and also that there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Revelation 21, 1-4. The Bible gives us ample evidence that eternal life in the kingdom of God will be paradise. Will Christ move back to heaven and take his spiritual family with him? And he carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Her light was like a most precious stone, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. But I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city had no need of the sun or of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light. And the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light, and the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor into it. Its gates shall not be shut at all by day. There shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. But there shall by no means enter it anything that defiles, or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Revelation 21:10-11. Revelation 21:22-27. Instead of the family of God being taken to heaven in the end, God the Father is coming to earth. As we quoted in response to the last question, "Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. All remaining have been transformed into divine glory, and he will dwell with them." Revelation 21:2-3. Later, John saw another vision of the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. Revelation 21:10. Then the rest of the chapter is the description of the New Jerusalem. The length, breadth, and height of New Jerusalem will be 12,000 furlongs, Revelation 21:16, which is about 1,500 miles. For comparison, that's about the distance from Los Angeles to Minneapolis. The city could be a giant cube or perhaps a giant pyramid or a mountain with a square area. In any case, as tall as it is wide. The area covered is hard to imagine. The square stretching east to west about as far as from Kuwait City, Kuwait to Athens, Greece, and from south to north about as far as from Mecca, Saudi Arabia, to the north coast of Turkey on the Black Sea. And the height is even more difficult to imagine, as it will be that same distance straight up. The tallest building on Earth is just over half a mile high. Mount Everest is only about 5.5 miles high, from sea level. The Earth's atmosphere now tops out at 300 miles. New Jerusalem will be a big city. Will the dominion of the God family be limited to earth? He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Revelation 21:7. For he has not put the world to come, of which we speak, in subjection to angels. But one testified in a certain place, saying, "What is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you take care of him? You have made him a little lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor, and set him over the works of your hands. You have put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we do not yet see all things put under him." Hebrews 2:5-8. Even though the new earth with the new Jerusalem will be the permanent home and headquarters of God and his kingdom, the God family will rule over and enjoy the entire universe. He who overcomes shall inherit all things. Revelation 21:7. Speaking of mankind, the book of Hebrews states, "You have put all things under his feet," and then says, "Now we do not yet see all things put under him." Hebrews 2:8. The passage is quoting from Psalm 8, where the context mentions your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars. Psalm 8:3. Since new heavens are foretold, perhaps the stars and planets will be much more beautiful than they are now. Given the vastness of the universe, it seems logical that the God family will be responsible for ongoing development of the awesome creation God has laid out before us, It's really exciting to imagine the infinite possibilities. Why doesn't God reveal even more about our long-term future? Oh, the depths of the riches of both the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. Romans 11:33. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. 1 Corinthians 2, 9-10. And he, an angel relaying prophecy to Daniel, said, go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed to the time of the end. Many shall be purified, made white and refined, but the wicked shall do wickedly. And none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. Daniel 12, 9-10. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Hebrews 11:6. Therefore do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. Hebrews 10:35-36. God has far more in store for us than we could ever comprehend in this life. Yet He gives us glimpses through His Word and Spirit. It's amazing and a priceless blessing that God has revealed what He has about the future. And God told Daniel that in the time of the end, the wise shall understand much more about what is to come. Daniel 12, 9-10. The wise are God's servants who trust, obey, and serve Him. Each time a prophecy is fulfilled, we have another proof of God. God has given us mountains of proof that He exists and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Hebrews 11:6. We don't need to know every detail of our future since we have God to lead us every step of the way. God has revealed all we need to know about how to live our lives now. Bible prophecy should greatly motivate us to avoid the prophesied consequences of disobedience and to seek the prophesied rewards of obedience. With all this insight into the future, what should we do? But Jesus answered him, saying, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Luke 4:4. Now behold, one came and said to him, good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? So he said to him, if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. Matthew 19:16-17. Then Peter said to them, repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Acts 2:38. There are many parts to the answer, many more than can be cited here. Jesus said we should live by every word of God. Luke 4:4. He also said, if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. Matthew 19:17. Peter said, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Acts 2:38. In addition, reading and meditating on 1 Thessalonians 5 is recommended as a worthwhile personal Bible study and an excellent conclusion for this Bible Prophecy and You series. We in the United Church of God, which produces the Beyond Today magazine and TV program, strongly encourage you to continue your study of the Bible. Stay informed about world events and trends and try to understand them in the light of Bible prophecy. Reading Beyond Today magazine and our study guides on prophecy will be especially helpful in that regard. Apply now. You'll find it interesting to compare the description of the Garden of Eden in Genesis 2, 8-17. With the beautiful garden-like description of the New Jerusalem in Revelation 22, 1-5. Take some time to think about this inspiring vision and write down the things you are most looking forward to in God's eternal kingdom. And to learn more about the astounding future God has planned for you and your loved ones, be sure to download or request our eye-opening free study guide, Why Were You Born? For more helpful content, visit us online at ucg.org.